Well, I have a question for you. Do you want to achieve success? Anybody? I want to see some hands. Okay, we've got audience participation. All right, very good. Thomas Jefferson said, "I'm a great believer in luck. I find the harder I work, the more I have of it." Some got it. Okay. Now, before you jump on me about sarcasm from the pulpit, remember that Elijah uses sarcasm when the prophets of Baal. So, you know, that's okay for me then. The reason a lot of people do not recognize opportunity is because it usually goes around wearing overalls and looks like work. Thomas Edison. "Nothing ever comes to one that is worth having except as a result of hard work." Booker T. Washington. "It's hard to beat a person who never gives up." Babe Ruth. "If you're on the right track, you'll still get run over if you just sit there." Will Rogers. So, what does the Bible say? Good. It worked. What does the Bible say about hard work? Well, Colossians 2:23. "Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men." In Proverbs 14:23, "Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty." Now, we are going to fly this morning. I've got a lot of territory to cover, so you got to read fast. You know, missionaries work hard. And I don't know a single missionary in our mission board that puts in less than 50 hours a week. I know I do. And that's not bragging. It's just part of life. But now, is it possible to have success without hard work? No. But does hard work guarantee success? No. Well, I have a question for you. How many of you own shares in a company? Okay, you don't have to tell me. But this weekend is our stockholders report to you, our shareholders, that was it. Because of your investment of prayer and giving, we're here today after 35 years. You know, we want you to walk away today impressed and empowered with God's goodness. You know, we've been at this a long time, but we don't want you to see us. We want you to see Jesus. And we want you to walk away saying, "God is a good, good God." And now we do have the video. Words to that song, "Help Me Reach the World, Let's Start With Me." That's really, really great. Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send, you are part of the worldwide body of Christ. I'm going to send a video of you all to our church for them to see you. So I want to give you your first Spanish lesson. Okay? Hola. Hola. I need to make it short enough. I tend to be a little bit wordy sometimes. Hola, no, saludos, 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 can you do that? All right, so just keep saying it, hola, saludos, hola, and I'm going to start recording over here, and I go all the way across. In fact, you know what I should do? Yeah, okay, ready? Okay, hola, saludos, hola, saludos, hola, saludos. Hola, saludos, vida nueva. Okay, yay! Okay, good, good, good. Okay. Here, honey. Here, give this to my wife. No, not you, honey. Her, honey. I only have one. Oh, I have two others, my two daughters. Okay, so. Then, we have been there for 35 years, but what continues to motivate us? What continues to help us along? We've already decided that good hard work is not enough to get you through when the times are tough. It really is only a start. Okay. Now, you do need the hard work and perseverance. It's just part of life. But are they enough? No. Now, what we need, and I can't go back. Can you go back for me? I hit it too fast. What has kept us going for 35 years and will continue? Well, faith and hope. In the Bible, we find those used almost interchangeably. But faith as defined by Google, is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Strong belief in God or the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Well, we would agree that there's not proof in the sense of I can touch it and see it. But it is not true in a sense, biblically, as believers, we can experience faith and we know it's true. It's not just a hope so. So what does the Bible say? In Romans 10:17, if you combine the two families of the original Greek text, so faith comes from the hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Jesus Christ and hearing it by the word of God. In Hebrews 11:1, faith shows the reality or assurance of what we hope for and is the evidence or conviction of things we cannot see. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is one of our favorite verses for Dorothy and I. Have faith, confidence, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. How many of you need help knowing what path to take? During a week or long term for life? We all do. Dorothy and I are in those golden years when we're thinking about retirement, oh, how and when and where. We need God's will. We need to know God's will. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we had that faith tested when they reported terrorism up in the mountains, cut out our ministry to fly in that southern part of Peru. And we had to move all the way from 3 hours south of Lima to 10 hours north of Lima. So, you know, the Lord is always there with us, and he helps us. He shows us what his will is. Biblical faith, we'll just stay on hope then. Biblical faith says it's a reality, it's a certainty. It is so, and it's so now. God is a good, good God to show us these different things about his ability to give us the faith to continue on. Hope. Hope is commonly used as a mean to mean a wish. The power is the strength of the person's desire. But hope, as far as by the Bible, Hebrews 6:16-19. Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, the oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Boy, that's different than most people. So God has given both his promises and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Is that something? This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. I think there's a song about that, isn't there, Pastor? Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these, what we've just talked about? If God is for us, who can be against us? That is just one of those great verses. You know, we went through some tough times about the terrorism and locations, but when God's with you, you know you cannot be defeated. Well, Romans 8:31, I already read that. Thank you. So the biblical hope has its strength in God and his faithfulness and his immutable characteristics, his attributes. What gave us hope to keep us going for 35 years was, without a doubt, the faith that the Lord was with us every step of the way. How many of you have been in a very, very dark place and wondered, who is with me? I was in a cave. I went down, I don't know where they had that cave, Pastor Rick, but I went in this cave with Amy up here in the Northville area and got partway down in the cave, and my flashlight died. I had never experienced anything so dark. I could not see my finger in front of my face. And I knew Amy was there, but Amy was only like 10 years old, so it wasn't like she's going to help me. And so I was like, oh, Lord, I know you're with me. Help me now. Boy, that's something. Psalms 46, 1. God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. One of Satan's most popular weapons against us is fear. Fear that God is really not with us, especially when the times are tough. And that terrorism up in the mountains, there were times, Dorothy said, that it really didn't affect us down on the coast that much, just mostly up in the mountains where they were. But what she didn't know was that every night that I would go out into the other towns neighboring, driving the big Chevy van, I had already decided if they tried to block the road that I would just go through it, over it, whatever, because they didn't take prisoners and they didn't stop without executing the missionaries. So there were tough times. But Joshua 1:9 says, have I not Joshua 1:9 though says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 3:13. Oh, thank you. Okay. Smarter than the average bear, boo-boo. Okay, so be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for he is the Lord, your God, who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. In Romans 8:38, I love this one. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Indeed, God is a good God. What has kept us going? Well, what has kept me going was a sweet wife. And I got to say that Dorothy is one of those major factors for me hanging in there for 35 years. Lord puts you together with someone often who is quite opposite in your temperament. And if she was down, I was up. And if I was down, she was up. So you always are there to encourage each other. Now, I can't put that down as, you know, this is a requirement for success in life that you get married. But if you happen to have a great husband or a great wife, that certainly is a plus. But also, and God is a good God to give me such a good wife, what gives us hope and kept? You know, when I say what gives me, this is from my point of view, but can you apply it to yourselves? You know, can you see how it works in your life? Is the love and compassion for people and seeing changed lives. Rick, you're at the end, and Pastor George, you're at the end. Would you have kept going if you didn't see lives changed? It'd have been hard. I mean, you stay faithful to the Lord no matter what, but changed lives is such a blessing. I mean, it just encourages you to keep on going. I happened to mention to Pastor Andrew last night that it's good to be educated. It'd be good to be educated in a seminary if you can do that. But if you can't relate to people and you don't have a love for people, I tell people who want to be missionaries, I just said it the other day in front of all the new missionaries at ABWE, if your main reason for going is to teach, don't. Your main reason for going should be because you just love to see people saved and you don't want to see people go to hell. I mean, that should be your overriding factor for motivation. And it should be ours too. Here in the States, you know, what is your mission in life? Your mission in life is to share the gospel with your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. It's not a personal, all I can get for me in this thing. So 1 Corinthians 13:7, that's the whole love chapter. And everything I do, if I don't have love, it counts for nothing. It's worthless. So that's a very strong message. Jesus' acts of healing, forgiveness and kindness and compassion and mercy were not merely illustrations to teach doctrine. This just hit me like a brick the other day when I was going through this message. He was that way by nature. And as God incarnate, in an instant, before he even saw them or before they even saw him, he knew them. He knew their story, their brokenness. He knew their needs. Now, of course, for us, we need a little bit more time. But in Mark 10:21, Jesus confronts the rich young ruler, but in the confrontation it says he looked at him and felt a love for him. If we can't look at people and feel a love for them, then we just aren't trying hard enough to get to know them and their needs. If we see their needs, how can we help but have compassion? And there was more, of course, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery. Jesus was there. He knew what they needed, and he met those needs. Luke 10 said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost." And that shows us that God is a good, good God. He doesn't want people to perish and go to hell. He wants them to be with him in heaven. But we love people only when we know them. Tonight, if you would like to hear about a man named Eloi, he was a lay priest up in the mountains of Ingenio, and he did not like me, and he did not like the gospel of Jesus Christ, apart from his version of the gospel. And he used to throw rocks. He practiced voodoo on the airplane on myself, and the rest of the story we'll tell tonight. So, and also, you know, when you see people like Cecilia in this picture, it was such a neat thing to see her come to the Lord, and now her husband is much more open, and I'm trying to establish a friendship with him, and he came and helped us with our building project and stuff. That's what really stokes my fire. Okay. Good. God is a good, good God because he shows that his grace is available to all of us. What gave us hope and kept us going and continue to do so is our faith in God's call in our lives. You know, when you look for that in the scriptures, you don't find a lot backing up the call. And Hudson Taylor said, everybody should be going to the mission field unless you get a call to stay in the States or in England at that point. But I'm not so sure about the veracity of that. But we just knew it. And from the time I was about 8 or 9 years old at Sacanaga Bible Conference, God impressed on my heart that he wanted me to do something full-time in a cross-cultural situation in a foreign land. And I did come to a point in college that the real battle over with my will and the Lord's will was, Lord, if it's your will, I will even stay in the States and be a minister, whatever you want me to do. I mean, to me, the hard thing would be to stay here, and for me, I just felt that God wanted me to go. And Dorothy felt the same thing when she was a kid, so that's why God put us together. But, you know, as you look at all that, the Holy Spirit will give you guidance as to what he wants you to do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust. Have faith, confidence in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, but seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Dorothy and I have chosen that path because God led us there in Peru to work with people. It's not something we build. It's people that we minister to. And as we leave this earth, the only thing that's going to last is his word and the people who we've built into their lives. We have experienced, not that we hope, not that we depend on some mystical experience, but we have experienced day in and day out that God is a good, good God. Also, faith in God's promises in his word. How many promises are in the word of God? Incredible. Joshua 23:14. Soon I will die, he said, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord, your God, has come true. Not a single one has failed. Not a single promise God made has ever failed. In Isaiah 40:31, But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not weary. They'll walk and not faint. And I guess because I'm in aviation, that was like my favorite verse about soaring like an eagle. And if anybody asks, yes, I still do miss flying. I just love that feeling. Well, we know that God is a good, good God. What gave us hope, really, is encouragement from friends like you back home. Your prayer, your financial support, even things like when I write a prayer letter, I pour into it. Dorothy does a lot of the words, and then I get the pictures together, and I do the organization and put it all together like that. And after about 6 hours of working on a prayer letter to get it out, just my part besides hers, I'm like, is anybody going to read it? So when you make a comment back on an email or social media, I just love it. I mean, it just pumps me up. So keep it coming. There's also things like the practical ways that you show love to our family over the years. I can remember even when Amy was up at Word of Life and Klug's had her down to their house, and just things like that just make a real impression on missionaries. Well, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4, praise be to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves received. As you minister to others, whether it's in your hometown, whether it's missionaries far away, God will use that so that you'll have something also to minister to others. And as you have ministered to us, we minister to others. So it's a neat endless cycle. I wrote down, be an encourager. The world already has enough critics. That's not a Bible verse, but it sure is a good one. So after recognizing all the keys to having success, for all of us, what are the points? Okay, hard work and perseverance, faith and hope, faith that God is always with us, love and compassion for people, faith in God's call, faith in God's promises, and encouragement from friends. Those are all really important, that if we're going to have success, that we need those points in our lives. So it's an encouragement to you. I hope that looking at what God has done in our ministry over these 35 years, that you'll say, wow, God's a good, good God. Look at all he's done for the Buds. Look at how he's helped them. And then look at your own life. Examine your own life. See what God's done for you. And if you can't come to the conclusion that God is a good, good God, then you're probably focused too much on negative things and not on the blessings that you enjoy or the blessings that are yours in the scriptures or promises. I mean, so many things that if it changes our life. If we recognize that God is a good, good God, we cannot be the same. And people will see that. What brings people to salvation? It's good to invite them to your church. That's fine. But really, if you look into it, most people are in a church today, are born-again believers, because somebody took an interest in them, invited them, but lived a life before them that was an example. I mean, you have to walk the talk. If you're not going to walk the talk, then don't talk. One of the worst things is a person says they're a believer, but they don't live like it. And everybody's going, and I thought. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest excuses that people give when you talk to them about the Lord is, besides, well, the number one in Peru is, why do bad things happen to good people? But the number two thing is, well, I saw so-and-so, and they said that they were a believer in Jesus Christ, and look at what they did. So you have to teach them, well, that's not good, that's not excusable, but everyone has to answer for themselves when they stand before the Lord on the ultimate day. But I really hope that you can go away today and just say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for the Buds, and I hope you can go away today saying, in my own personal life, God is a good, good God.